Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're so happy to be back on the air with new, fresh programs for you, and we wanted to take this opportunity today to talk to you about some cultural events that are happening in some cultural places and some entertainment that is finally coming back into our lives after all of these dreary months that we've been through. And one of our favorite places for entertainment here in Western New York, and I hope it's yours too, is our very own North Park Theater. It's so special and so unique, and I'm happy to have, through the magic of telephone, on the phone with me today on our program, the program director of the North Park Theater. Maybe you have another title too, Ray, I don't know. But anyway, he's the director, Ray Barker, and he is going to be telling us all about what's happened at the North Park, how it's ready, and how they're ready, willing, and able to have people, to have customers, viewers come back, and how important it is to the whole area, to that whole Hurdle Avenue area. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hi there. So pleasure to be with you.
I'm so happy. I was so happy when I saw the stories about that they could finally, that the governor and the state would finally allow the theaters to open. Let me just go back for a minute and ask you about, I know it's your favorite subject, the biggest and most important local cinema story of the last year, really, was the renovation of the historic North Park Theater on Hurdle Avenue. Seems like a lifetime ago, but let's just review and tell everyone about all the renovations that took place pre-COVID, of course.
Well, the last phase of restoration that we unveiled to the public was the outer lobby restoration. You see, there was a ceiling above the box office, which had been there as long as I've been going to the North Park, which is since I was a kid in the 1970s. And yet, the original height of the lobby in 1920 went much higher up. So what we had to do was bring artisans in and do plaster and other restoration work on that. And then the last step was to remove the ceiling to have that big wow effect so everyone could see, with the drop ceiling gone, how magnificent it looked. And we were able to do that with Rocket Man about Elton John when that came out and unveiled that to the public. So the wonderful thing about that restoration was it was done kind of covertly and secretly. All this work was going on that people couldn't see, and then all of a sudden it was all there and incredibly beautiful. Takes us back to the theater when it opened in 1920.
Okay, since you mentioned that, maybe we could tell a little history while we have a chance about the North Park. You know.
Sure. The theater actually opened November 21st, 1920, so this month is our 100th anniversary, our centennial anniversary, 100 years in business on Hurdle Avenue, and we're really proud of that, and we're very happy that we can be open to acknowledge our anniversary. You know, 2020 just isn't a year of celebration. It's a year that we all just want to survive. So I think the big celebration will come in 2021. We'll kind of delay gratification here, but we certainly want to mark our 100th birthday on November 21st.
That's very sad that it should be during 2020. But like you said, like everything else, we'll postpone it and pretend 2020 yeah. didn't happen, and, you know, and look at yeah. This was the North Park is the crown jewel of Hurdle Avenue. And so it's amazing to me that it was with an enormous sense of like gratitude and pride back when you came to the 2013-14 original, you know, renovation, the big massive renovation. Everybody was so excited, and there was so much pride involved in the whole city. It was really, really momentous.
Yeah, I started working at the North Park in the early 90s, and you know, in the 90s and 2000s, it was still a wonderful place to go, but it had kind of fallen on hard times through neglect. And in June of 2013, the theater went dark for a while, and then it underwent a restoration process. And that came courtesy of Tom Iwanu, a local lawyer, and Mike Cristiano, local restaurateur. They put their money into restoring it, and public got behind it. And we had 9-10 months of very intense restoration to repair the auditorium and clean the central auditorium dome and do a lot of other you know, things to make the theater beautiful. So when we reopened in March 2014, there was a lot of excitement, and we've been able to build our audience every year from 2014 until now. And you're absolutely right that when the theater is doing well, that attracts thousands and thousands of people to Hurdle Avenue from all over Western New York and Southern Ontario. And I think that helps all of the small businesses and all of the restaurants, and really makes Hurdle Parkside one of the nicest neighborhoods in the city. And when we've been closed now for 7 months, or were closed for 7 months, you see all of these businesses suffer. And unfortunately, we've lost some of them. So I think clearly there's a kind of organic relationship between the theater and the neighborhood. And when the theater is dark, that hurts everybody.
You know, so many people have that grew up here and lived here like generations. They have so many memories of going to the theater when they were younger. They'll, you know, walking to see, I don't know, double features or whatever. They saw movies in those days, and it's sort of part of their tradition and history. That's why I think it's so important.
Yes, it's always fantastic to get stories from people about their earliest memory of the North Park, or things that happened in the North Park that they recall. For example, we've had World War II veterans tell us that they were actually drafted in the North Park Theater. Some have childhood memories that go back to the North Park. They remember coming for a matinee and getting a bicycle. You know, for some, like film critic Jeff Simon, it was the neighborhood movie theater, the first place they really came and, you know, experienced cinema and later cinema as an art form. In fact, the writer of the Avengers movie, Christopher Marcus, grew up in North Buffalo, and North Park was the first cinema he ever came to. And, you know, made a special effort to come to the North Park when Avengers got released to, you know, say to everybody, look, you know, your story could be my story. I was just a kid from the neighborhood who liked coming to the movies, and look at me. I mean, the stories are endless.
That is great. Yes, people have, you know, oh, Sundays we would go, we would do this, and then after church we would go to the movie, or like on somebody's birthday or 16th birthday, they would go, you know, celebrate there. So I'm sure you've heard a lot of those stories, and it's really important that it was like pre the days now we think of, you know, what do you call those multiplexes and the tiny little boxes where you watch a film, as opposed to this beautiful, historic, elegant. It's almost like comparable to Shays, only for movies.
That's right. And it's had many different lives over 100 years. I mean, we started out showing mainstream Hollywood pictures. Then along the way in the 70s became a specialty house for Disney pictures and children's films, and then were a discount house in the early 80s, and then adopted an art house model beginning in 1983. So the theaters had different kind of programming styles through the years, and people have, you know, different connections to that. I really feel we have the right balance with our programming today, with something for everyone. We have the kind of art house at our core, but we also do show mainstream Hollywood films from time to time, children's pictures, different kinds of genre films. So there's really something for everybody.
Yes, because it's, as you said, it's had different lives and different itinerations. They've done different things, but now it's a little of everything.
Yeah, and also, you know, the neighborhood has changed through the years. Wolf Blitzer and I had a conversation. He came to the CNN political host. You know, his family's deli was on our block. And so, you know, he remembers the Hurdle Avenue neighborhood when it was predominantly, you know, Buffalo's Jewish neighborhood, and, you know, what that was like. And I think some people have memories of the old days when, you know, you had Massman's Deli at, you know, Colvin and Hurdle and so on. And we still have a Orthodox community in the neighborhood, which is wonderful. But, you know, a lot of that population moved out to Williamsville and other places. And then Hurdle became more Italian. And when we know today, it's a kind of lovely mix, but lots of families with children, and those families with children would like to see movies from time to time. We show all art house films, and they don't get an opportunity to have that childhood experience, so we want them to have that too.
We're talking about the North Park Theater on Hurdle Avenue with Ray Barker, who is the program director and manager and all-around person, I guess you'd say, for the North Park. And, you know, one of the reasons that we are talking about it is because we're so excited that it's been able to reopen finally after, did you say 7 months, Ray?
7 months.
Seven months.
So March 16th, and we're closed from March 16th until October 22nd. So that was a long time.
Probably no. Probably that's the first time that ever happened.
Other than the restoration, it's certainly the longest period of closure that anyone can remember. That's right.
Now, let's discuss with our listeners so they'll know all you had to do and all you have done to make to meet the COVID requirements so that people will feel safe to go there.
Yeah, we wanted to open, of course, but we have wanted to open safely, the safety of our customers being the number one priority. And New York State set out some regulations. So one of the differences is that everyone is required to wear a mask coming to the theater. And as you move about the theater, you have to have your mask on. We also are enforcing strict social distancing when people enter and exit. We have assigned seating, so you come to the box office and you can pick where you'd like to sit, but then we can space people out. We have an auditorium that seats over 600 people. We're only allowed to use 50 of those seats under the New York State regulations. That's the maximum number of people who can come to one show. And with all of the square footage that we have, it's very easy to keep people separate from one another. In fact, the New York State guidelines actually said 25%. 25% for us would be 150. That would enable more people to come. But the Cuomo administration capped it at 50. So we have a very artificial limit, but that's done to keep the public safe. And so we can sell any more tickets than 50. We also brought in air purification machines, which can purify 2,000 square feet of air every 30 minutes, and it kills COVID in the air. It's a little unit that looks kind of like R2-D2. And so we have that to purify the air. So it's been quite involved to do all of these steps, but you know, we want to keep the public safe, and so far everyone who's come has told me that they had a good experience and that they did feel safe. And there's not a single COVID transmission in the United States that's actually been traced to a movie theater exposure. So you know, we like to point out, I think, that, you know, coming to a movie theater is as safe an experience as you can get these days.
Well, that's important for the public to feel, you know, safe and secure. And also, when you mentioned how big, maybe you know statistics, how big the theater is, actually, we were talking before, it's not like those little box, multiplex boxes where, you know, it's like a tiny square. This theater is really big. It's gigantic. It's easy to have spaced out seating and so forth because it's so big.
Yeah, I think that was one of the frustrating things with the Albany lawmakers is perhaps when they think of a movie theater, they're thinking of a multiplex and smaller auditoriums. And, of course, we have one of the largest auditoriums in New York State, with the ceiling, you know, way, way up there. So, you know, lots of room, you know, lots of air. Unfortunately, they write one set of rules for everybody. And, you know, it'd be nice if it was based on square footage or something like that. But we were able to reopen October 23rd. And our attitude has been being open is much better than being closed.
Yes,
so we're happy to be reopened.
Yes, you and are always an optimistic person. And think of how far-sighted and optimistic our very own friend Tom Ioanna was, going back all the time when he realized what a gem and how important it was to renovate and keep the theater there on Hurdle Avenue. So it's the same. Yeah.
Tom is a salt of the earth person. He is a very close friend. He's one of the hardest working people I've ever met, and he loved the North Park Theater when it was, you know, when it had its share of cosmetic problems. But he could see beyond that, like a good developer can, to its, you know, rich potential. And he helped save the theater, and I think that's something he always deserved credit for. And he saved many buildings around town, as you know. But
yes, and on, you know, and on Hurdle Avenue too, you know,
on Hurdle Avenue, yeah. And Hurdle Avenue too, yeah, absolutely. And I think his redevelopment has strengthened neighborhoods. You know, he takes something that maybe is a little neglected, a little older, brings it back to its former glory, and you know, helps attract capital and businesses and investment, and I think we've seen that through Buffalo over the last, you know, decade and a half. It's part of the Buffalo story. It's part of the Buffalo Renaissance, and so we've made so much progress. Now that COVID has hit, you know, we really seem to have lost our momentum temporarily, and I hope that is just temporary and we can get back on track.
I hope so too. You know, one of the issues that the film industry, movies, entertainment is facing, television of course as well as movies, is not having any product, you know, not being able to make make films, produce films during this COVID period. So what are you doing? Because I remember like reading, I forget what everyone was looking for, the James Bond movie, for example. Mm-hmm. And that had to be delayed. The opening had to be delayed. Tell me about like what product you're getting and what problems you're having getting new films.
Well, I'm really glad you brought this up because the press has given this subject a lot of attention. And what they're talking about is the relocation of a lot of mainstream Hollywood films to 2021. The redating of pictures, because obviously film companies that have millions of dollars invested in films are hesitant to release films theatrically in a market where New York City and L.A. are still closed. And that has affected the big chains like Regal and AMC. Regal basically said they were going to keep most of their U.S. and U.K. theaters closed after Sony announced that it was pushing back the James Bond film into 2021. And that's why Regal Elmwood is still closed today. However, we're not entirely dependent upon mainstream Hollywood films, although we play some mainstream Hollywood films. We play a lot of independent films, foreign films, repertory films. Those are sometimes called archival films, you know, films from the past, classic movies. So we're not 100% dependent on Hollywood for product, as you say. Occasionally, we do play those. We're playing one now, Tenet, the new Christopher Nolan movie, because there are people in Buffalo who want to see Tenet. But if we weren't playing Tenet, we'd be playing some independent feature, which is a brand new movie, by the way. These films come from medium and smaller distributors, and very often they're very innovative, and people love to see them, but they're not the, you know, Fast and the Furious 12, you know, kind of film. So the theaters that are dependent on that kind of movie are definitely suffering. That's not the case for us because we're much more eclectic in our programming.
Well, that's really, I'm glad we talked about that because everyone, as you said, we've been reading and hearing about the delaying the films and that there's nothing to see in the movies, and that's why nobody's going. That's why they're not open. But of course, that's going to be solved soon too. I mean, they've found ways to start filming again. I mean, they've done the television shows, have come back safely, you know, and I think films will too.
We have certain mainstream Hollywood films have played very well at the North Park, especially those that appeal to families. Again, we're a neighborhood movie theater. We're located in a neighborhood with lots of families with children. So, you know, the Star Wars and the Disney animated films have played well. But, you know, that's only part of what we play. And we hear from Buffalo customers all the time that they want to see a greater variety of pictures. So you'll get fascinating documentaries or foreign films or independents, things that people see in the New York Times that are playing in, you know, New York City or L.A., and we want to bring as wide a variety of movies to Buffalo as we possibly can. Now, some distributors have a kind of rollout where they hit New York and L.A. first to build up some press interest, and then they roll out to the rest of the country. That's by design. That's to build kind of interest in their films. But I think these big chain theaters, for whatever reason, are not very creative in how they program, and I think the whole joy of being in the movie theater business is the, you know, having a very eclectic program of films to choose from, because not everything is going to appeal to everyone.
You're so right, because people, as you pointed out, would like to see independent films or small films or documentaries, and there is foreign films, and there aren't that many places in Western New York that you can see that. So you definitely have filled a niche for many, many people since you took over, or since it got renovated and started again in, you know, years ago when you and Tommy started it.
Yeah, it's been a programming journey. You kind of learn, you know, what people like, and we try to, you know, broaden the offerings, and you know, not everything clicks with the public, but you would be surprised. You know, a lot of films have a particular niche that a subset of people are very interested in. I mean, we had a documentary about golf caddies at once, one time, called Loopers. And there's a lot of people who like golf. Now, not everyone plays golf, and everyone likes it, but those people...
a lot of people
and
they do.
They can see that film, and someone else can, you know, come see a film about food or, you know, social, political drama. You know, so you gotta mix it up.
And I've also been at the theater when there's been commentary, or there have been events, or people actually giving a dissertation about the movie or about films, or, you know, a lecture about something or a talk. So it's got other, you know, you've had other programs as well as films, which is really important for the community.
Yeah, I think we've had more red carpet premieres than any other theater in Western New York.
No, I miss that so much.
we're set up to do that. I was thinking the other day about when Turner Classic Movies came to Buffalo with Mr. Mankiewicz, you know, who's their primetime host and the director of The Natural, Barry Levinson. And they talked about Barry's experience filming The Natural in Buffalo. Of course, many people still have very fond memories about, you know, 1983, 1984 when they were filming. And
many people were extras and played in it, too.
Yes.
You know, there were so many people, extras, that they used.
I believe you might have been one, right?
I'm not talking. I'm not admitting anything here. Let me ask you, Ray, for some kind of crucial information, such as how would people get tickets now? How do they reach you? When do they have to get them? How far in advance? That kind of thing.
All of our tickets are available at our website, northparktheater.org. They can buy their tickets online, and we do have tickets available at the box office as well. So if you don't like using the computer, you don't have to. You can come in and buy them. Our box office is enclosed in glass, so we're
perfect.
COVID ready.
You were COVID ready before COVID.
It's funny, thinking about Mankiewicz from TCM, one of the films we're going to bring to Buffalo for Thanksgiving is a new film about his father, called Mank, short for Mankiewicz, who was the producer on the Orson Welles classic film Citizen Kane. And Gary Oldman is going to play Mankiewicz, and Amanda Seyfried is in the film, as well as the always wonderful Charles Dance, who played Tywin Lannister.
That will be so exciting.
Game of Thrones.
And you know what? They were just talking about it on like CBS about Mank, and I was thinking that is going to be so exciting to see. So I'll be there. I'll see you.
Well, that's
for sure.
Great. That's going to be our big Thanksgiving picture, and I think that,
yay.
Again, the kind of thing that people want to see on the big screen is, it's a partnership with Netflix that we have to bring their biggest hits to the big screen. We've done this now with Roma and with Marriage Story, and of course The Irishman, which was we had last Thanksgiving that many people were excited about. So there are a wonderful cinema culture that's alive and well in Buffalo.
Thanks to you, and thanks to our friend Tommy Uano, and thanks to the North Park. We're so happy that you're alive and kicking, and we're so glad we had a chance to talk to you on Target with Penny Wolfgang. And thank you so much for being our guest today, Ray. And thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you again, talk to you again next week. Have a good week, be safe, and enjoy yourselves if you can. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.